Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now,
we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954 with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Hey, good morning.
Hey, everybody. It's Saturday morning, and it's a little bit warmer.
Yeah, well, a little warmer. It's 37 degrees right now.
Well, it's not freezing.
Well, no, that's true. Although tomorrow might not be as good. Looks like we're going to have some snow tomorrow.
Yes, I saw that. Just in time for my drive up to Indianapolis on Monday.
Well, hopefully it won't be too bad. It says 2 to 4 inches, so... You never know, though.
Yeah.
You know something's coming.
Well, this is the traditional Indiana high school basketball tournament sectional snowstorm.
Yes.
And it happens every year, and everybody seems to be surprised when it happens, but, gosh, we, you know, kind of expect it.
Well, it is. It looks like a cold front's coming through, because it's only going to be 23 on Monday. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday, starting to get back up to 30 on Wednesday.
That's usually the way she works. You know, you get your storm and then you get your cold front.
Yep.
And, luckily, we're not farther north where we would be in the zero category.
Exactly.
And whatnot. And I see they've been having lots of snow out west. They had a pretty small amount of snow early in the season, but then it has picked up lately, and they've had, I think, 166 inches down up in the Beartooth Pass up there, and that's a lot of snow.
Man, that's a heck of a lot.
That's good for fishing, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's good for fishing. The more that there is, the better the fish are covered and a little more protected, and the less people want to fish in that higher water.
Right.
So that's kind of helpful. And, well, anyway, the fishing season is coming.
Yeah.
And right now, actually, the fishing season is on. I had this written down to talk about today. And I mentioned it last week, but March is far and away the best largemouth bass fishing month at Lake Monroe there is. And it's year after year after year. There's, I think, it must have been about 1982 or 83. There was 17 bass over 7 pounds caught out of Lake Monroe in March. Now, that's a lot of 7-pound bass.
Mm-hmm.
You seldom, you know, sometimes you don't see one or two of those a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it all depends, I guess, on how things went the year before. I'm not sure how it's going to work out this year, but there will be some big bass caught, and the bass tournament boys are already out there, so if there's any caught, we'll probably see some now.
Well, certainly plenty of water out there.
Yes, there is. That's good, though.
Yeah.
That's good.
That helps all the fish, and, you know, at least it doesn't matter too much, but it certainly gives them more area to hang out in. Especially with the trees that were down and stuff.
There's two things about the high water. the number one good thing is that it does give them more area to browse this time of year. But if it stays on in there, that water stays high, it will drown out. It will drown out the vegetation. And when you kill the vegetation, you're going to kill a lot of young fish. So we don't want that high water to stay too long. It's welcome for a little while, but it can go away anytime.
Well, yeah. I think it usually, by the time the spring rolls around, it'll get a little bit nicer. Hopefully it's not as bad this year as far as the weather that we were having last spring.
In any case, it's almost over. I mean, spring does happen here in a couple months. And we got, this is mushrooms, the first black mushrooms, morels, will be coming up this month, and you can just bet on it.
Hey, we got to go. I'll be right back.
All right.
Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and me, Rich Reardon. We'll be back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
Yeah, this is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana. Also, 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. It is 37 degrees right here in downtown Bloomington. And watch out, it's going to snow tomorrow. So we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
There we go. Sorry to interrupt you there.
Oh, it's all right. I'm used to it. Well, let's see. What was I thinking about while we were off there?
Well, you know, one thing I wanted to bring up, if that comes back to you, that I've heard some sandhill cranes coming through and geese and stuff already.
Oh, yes. I guess about a month ago there was a notice from the DNR that there were sandhills up at Jasper Pulaski.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they don't wait.
They don't wait. They're coming back. I've heard them flying over the house. Quite a few little bursts of it.
There's been a number of signs of the migration going on already. We had a northern flicker in the yard the other day, and they usually don't show up until a little later. Maybe they decided to stay around all year now. I'm not sure, but
right.
There are other birds on the move, too. And it's just that time of year, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's coming. It's coming. And you'll see out in the woods pretty soon, you'll start seeing little peepers of green out there. And I haven't heard any spring peepers yet. A little too cold for them, I guess.
I have heard about it in another state. In West Virginia, I've heard some peeping about peepers.
Peeping about peepers in West Virginia. Well, it's almost heaven there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say. So, you know, it's springtime. It's time to get your boat out and see if you can get it running and cleaned up and check that battery and clean out that gas tank, you know.
Yep.
There's just so many things to do. Grease those wheel bearings. And I noticed my old buddy Danny Wagner, who's a crappie enthusiast, he had a picture of his boat on Facebook the other day. And he's ready to go. I'm sure he's been out already. And the crappies are no doubt biting if you know where to look. And, you know, we have a lot of crappies in Lake Monroe. A lot of them aren't so big, but if you want to catch a lot of crappies, you can go down there and do it. There are some larger ones if you can. You got the patience and know-how to find them. They're 15 feet or more, or 12 to 15 feet. And minnows are what you want to use for those guys this time of year. Fish right down off the bottom, and you need to find some brush to fish around. And you may even see a bass down there too, but crappie fishing is usually the first thing that really fires up around here, and it's time.
Well, and it won't be long before you can start catching some catfish too.
Yes, it will be. Channel cats in particular are fairly active this time of year.
I always love the early spring for catfishing.
Channel catfish are, you know, their size is a little more manageable, and they're probably not so loaded with mercury and other things like the big boys are, you know, those 65 pounders. Your toes might turn, you know, glow in the dark if you eat one of those.
Right.
So that's something to think about these days. You know, stick with a smaller fish. The state says one half-pound meal of bluegill a week is what they recommend. So, you know, that's not a lot of fish.
No.
So... You want to be careful about it. And your farm ponds are a little safer, although they also have air pollutants that drop in there, you know, like lead and mercury, whatnot. So, you know, you just want to be careful. Make sure you fillet your fish instead of just scale them, because you'll get rid of a lot of the toxic stuff that way and cut out their belly meat, which is also where they store toxic chemicals, and enjoy yourself a meal of fish. And boy, they're good this time of year. You know, nice solid fish. You know, they're about the best they get is right now.
It's funny how the texture of the fish really even changes throughout the year.
Yes, it does.
But it's sort of like they're right out of the freezer for you. You know, they're just fresh and cold and firm. Good eating if you like fish.
Yeah, and anybody would tell you to. A fish that's cold is a lot easier to fillet than a fish that's warm.
That's true.
They just zip, you know, you zip, zip, and easy to work on. And well, in any case, it's that time of year, and we, you know, Lake Griffey's probably a place to check out this year. I haven't been over there in a couple of years just because of all the, you know, redos and different rules and costs and whatnot, but I'm sure there's still some nice bluegills in there if you're willing to spend a little time looking for them. And I don't know what else is going on at Lake Griffey. Actually, I haven't heard much about the deer for a while. Well, we got around here to fish. We got Lake Monroe. We got Lake Lemon, which is a private lake, but it has some large bass and has a lot of crappie. And nearby, we got Cataract Lake over in Owen County.
Right.
And that is an excellent crappie lake and big catfish. Excellent crappie, big catfish. And then we got West Boggs Creek down at Lagodi. And if you happen to be a military... card holder, you can fish Lake Greenwood down at Crane, and it has some nice fish in it too. So there's plenty of lakes to fish, and there's a few streams. Yet remains to be seen how the construction of I-69 is going to affect Indian Creek in particular, which runs right, you know, the highway ran right across it actually. So,
where is Indian Creek?
Indian Creek is actually starts over by Hobbyville. You know where Hobbyville is? It's down there by Little Cincinnati.
I know where Cincinnati is.
And it flows south and west, and then turns and runs right along the edge of the Crane Naval Depot. And I usually would float it from. Not quite that far up, but get out at the Silverville Bridge. I don't know whether you know where that is or not.
I'm not familiar with that place at all.
It's no doubt the best smallmouth stream we've got around here. It's kind of hard to fish, especially when the water's high, and you might need a boat. You might need a canoe or a kayak.
Right.
So I used to fish it in a kayak back in the days before people fished in kayaks, and that's really the way to do it.
Why do you think it's a good smallmouth place?
Oh, because I've caught them there in many years.
No, I just meant, why do you think the fish is actually thriving there? Is it fairly deep and wide?
Or? Oh, well, it's clean.
Yeah.
And it's rocky.
Yeah.
And that's about all you need.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad that might be some problems with I-69. So how close? So it crosses it.
Yeah, it crosses it, and the drainage goes right into it.
Mm-hmm.
From those, you know, those earthen slumps they've had out here on that stretch of I-69 south of town.
Yep.
That all ends up down there. And, the smallmouth don't like silt on their spawning beds.
Right.
Now, eventually, maybe enough water, enough storms, enough years will pass that it'll flush that all out.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah.
But anyway, we still have some decent fishing down here, and it's worth giving it a shot. And what do we got coming up here? We got some things coming up at Spring Mill State Park and McCormick's Creek State Park. Both have some programs coming up in the near future if you're interested in learning more about those two state parks. And one of them, I believe, is today. Some kind of an informative thing. I've lost my computer this morning, so I don't have it here in front of me.
Well, I'm looking it up now. So you say that's at McCormick's?
McCormick's and Spring Mill both were having some kind of activity today. And, of course, we got the boat shows over now. Of course, they didn't advertise it very much. We got one shot at it last week.
Mm-hmm.
And mentioned it to everybody, but I don't know how many people even go to that any longer. But I know one thing, you could have gotten your actual printed copy of the hunting and trapping and fishing guide at the boat show, where other than that, you've got to get it on the internet. So the internet, it's at IN/DNR.
Well, I was there. They didn't have anything about this. They don't seem to be updating this page.
Well, I saw this on my Facebook page this morning.
Yeah.
So.
Does DNR have a Facebook page?
Yes, the DNR has a Facebook page.
Oh, that's good to know.
And
DNR of Indiana Facebook. Here we are looking on the computer while we're talking on the air. But
actually, if you just look up my page on there, you'll find something about it, I think. Oh, no, that was in my email. And I'm not even going to try to get my email on this computer.
Yeah.
So anyway, here we are sitting in the studio down here in downtown Indianapolis, in downtown Bloomington, and looking for something to talk about this morning. You guys want to talk about outdoors this morning? Call us, 812-323-1200. We'd like to hear from you. Wouldn't we, Rich?
Yes, we would. And Buddy Bill's still not feeling too well, so we'll give a shout-out to Bill. I hope you're feeling better, Bill, if you're listening. And, again, call us in. We're going to take a little break here right now, but give us about a minute. And remember that number,
323-1200. That's close enough.
Yeah. Be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. You're listening to WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And we podcast our show on Morrison's site. We always want to say give a shout out to Morrison's and thank you for sponsoring our show for so long. And you can go there on their website and find our podcast or at WFHB.org.
It's going to be snowing tomorrow, so watch out. We're going to have a low of 28 degrees tonight, and it's going to start snowing in the evening and all day tomorrow. Talking about 2 to 4 inches, so we'll see what happens. Then it's going to go back to being sunny, mostly sunny all week, and highs in the 20s, so we're back to winter just for a little bit more. We'll be right back.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Yo, that's hey. Us. We're the thinking impaired this morning.
Yes, and so, every other morning.
Yeah, but it's going to be kind of snowy tomorrow, so watch out, people. You never know. This time of year, it's always...
it can be ice and it can be snow and it'll whatever it is, it'll be slick.
Yes.
Don't take those snow tires off yet.
Not yet.
And this is also the month you can use studded snow tires for the rest of this month, but they have to come off on the 1st of April. Yeah. I don't know whether anybody ever uses them anymore. I always did. They're still legal in Indiana. And if you've got just a plain two-wheel drive pickup truck and you've got studded snow tires, you can go wherever you want. They make it possible to get around without four-wheel drive.
Well, when I grew up in Pennsylvania, it was pretty much standard. You know, came to be about October, it was time to get ready to think about putting those things on. Uh-huh. Sometimes even September.
It's really hard to find a place that'll put them on now. You almost have to order them on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be High Speed Recap up here on Rogers was the only place in town that would that had the machine to put the studs in your tires.
Right.
So you had to buy a certain kind of tire, and not very many people make those tires anymore. And then you got to take it down and have the studs put in. So you might call around, but you're probably going to end up ordering them on the internet.
Yeah.
And they do the job.
They do. They do kind of tear up the town a little bit, but apparently not bad enough that they've made it illegal yet.
I mean, have you looked at the roads around Bloomington lately?
Well, it might help kind of get rid of some of the...
I have to say, it might help them, you know. They're so bad. There are big, deep holes right in places where they've just repaved. You know, you hit them, it's ka-wham! Just, I hit one this morning on... Arlington Road coming in.
Well, in some places that they were flooding too, it's, you know, not doing too well.
Actually, every street in town it seems to be falling apart. Of course, that's the tradition in Bloomington.
Yeah, it is.
We have way more cars than we have taxes to support them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty rough out there. So, get your insurance for your shock absorbers and your tires and wheels.
South Walnut down there by, before you get to the greenhouse, you know, coming out from Fairfax Road or that light there.
Uh-huh.
If you go down the hill a little farther, there's there was flooding all through there.
Oh, yeah, down under the railroad bridge. There.
Yep, and that whole, there's a good, I don't know, 200 yards or more of just, you know, just gouge out of the middle of the road on the left side.
Well, I knew that
going south.
That got ripped up pretty bad in
the
flooding we had.
Yep.
So did the old bridge across the Clear Creek down there. Is the approaches to it got ripped up? Not
yeah.
So much the bridge, but the approaches.
Yeah, I remember seeing that picture. That was pretty bad.
Yeah, it is. There are places like that, and they're all over the county.
Yeah,
and I guess I don't know if most people here watch Indianapolis television news, and boy, they've been having a show feature every night about how bad the roads are in Indy. Yeah. So if you go up there, boy, you better watch yourself because they do look bad.
Yeah,
just torn up, like no road is. It's like a cow path kind of.
Yeah,
good description.
Well, it looks like we got a caller. Let's.
Well,
I'm just going to put you on the air, caller, so be ready. Hello, are you on the air?
Yeah, I was calling in for Inside Outdoors.
Yeah, this is Inside Outdoors. Sorry, we're sitting in the control room, so we just put you right on the air because I can't really talk to you.
Okay, cool.
But yes, you're on the air. How are you doing? What's your name?
Oh, I'm on the air?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. You're say what you wish.
Well, anyway, I heard you guys talking about Griffey earlier, and I just the deer hunting stuff and springing and
yep.
That's why I was calling. But
yes.
I just ran across a little interesting thing the other day here in my neighborhood that just kind of talks about a little about where Bloomington's going right now. And I live on 17th off of 17th Street here on the west side, and if you come from the roundabout there below
Dyer School or
right.
Tri-North.
Yeah, Tri-North.
Yeah, and you come up that little corridor that has always been a beautiful tree-lined thing and associated with the rest of the construction that's going on out this way. I just saw the city down there, and they're going to cut all those trees down through there on the south side of the road.
Hmm.
On the south side of 17th?
There's two giant white oaks. They took the pine trees out yesterday.
Oh, that's too bad, because that's I know exactly where you're talking about. That's a beautiful area.
We talk about, I listen to you, and we talked before. It was started off about the Griffey hunt and so on and so mm-hmm. forth, and just kind of the changes that have gone on around town. But I'm telling you, the Tree City USA signs that used to sit on the city limits always hit me when I see what's going on. And in the same regard, if you go out to the New Marsh store, or not New Marsh, but now it's the Kroger up there off of Kinzer Pike.
Yes.
Those giant maples that were right there along the road.
Uh-huh.
Those aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
Those have been gone, taken down in the last 2 or 3 months. And I really think we're losing some of the, we've lost a lot of what used to define our downtown and whatever because of the building that's gone on in the last few years. And I don't know what else to say about that, but this tree thing is incredible. I mean, I've never seen the amount of healthy, large trees taken out in this area.
Well, here's the thing. Those big trees are considered a nuisance to the construction boys, and they're just getting in the way of their heavy equipment and whatnot, and it's hard.
Well, and I totally understand that, but, here's where I'm going to go with this. There's a sidewalk on the other side of the street on 17th.
Uh-huh.
It runs up there, and in the planning department's vast foresight, that sidewalk just dies right there about in the middle of where I'm talking about, where they're going to put the new sidewalk in. Only the new sidewalk is going to go on the other side of the street because obviously they didn't do their right-of-way work and stuff right. And when they did the roundabout, they've already been down through there and replaced all the power lines and stuff. So, I'm assuming that they took every it just speaks to planning and foresight and sustainability and what we sacrifice to build these, to do these things. And people will really hate me when I say this. This all has to do with the beeline, too. They're running the beeline up here, whatever.
Absolutely.
Trail up through here. And that's a great thing, and I'm all for that stuff. But, when's it come? Where's the point come where paving that 3-foot strip so people can ride their mopeds and scooters on it become a trade-off for a 100-year-old white oak tree? I'm old and grumpy, but
Well, you don't sound so old or grumpy, actually. You haven't heard me. I'm with you, buddy.
I we've talked before, and I said, you know, I used to get up in the morning and get to the mailbox just to read your article on the front of the sports page. So
oh, thanks a lot.
We're simpatico, but I just, again, I'm just kind of talk. I literally wanted to go to the mayor's state of the city thing a week ago Thursday, but I live across, and this is what we spoke about, and if you guys might remember this. I live on what's called Crescent Road, what's left of Crescent Road.
Yes.
17th Street used to come up. It didn't go to the highway. It curved around and took you out to Vernal Pike.
Right.
And that little piece of, that little stretch of ground road is called Crescent Road.
Uh-huh.
And there is a woods, and we spoke of this. There was an 8-acre, more than 80-year-old, undisturbed woods there. And we're also talking about the line of sinkholes that come out here, shooting through and heading out toward Vernal Pike. And this piece of ground got bought. It had been for sale forever. It got bought. And now it's being developed into 3 5-story apartment towers.
Mm.
And I could go into more description there. But the point is, I guess maybe at some point I knew that piece of ground was going to get developed. But I never in my wildest imagination thought that they would put 3 5-story tall towers on it. Now, there's not a 5-story building between me and the Graham Hotel.
Yeah.
Or going down toward campus. There's not a 5-story building out here. And with the amount of commercial space and empty stuff sitting around Bloomington and blah, 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 for some reason, this 8-acre woods, which one third of is about a 60-foot deep sinkhole. But they're going to build these apartment buildings around the sinkhole. And the city has set aside all the restrictions on the setbacks on building up to them. Again, you guys all have been here. You remember the days with going back to the original Walmart project out on the highway. If mm-hmm. you mention the word sinkhole, flags.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's that. Yes. That used to be a major limiting factor for development, but obviously not anymore under the new rules.
Well, again, I know I got to sound maybe a little vindictive or whatever, but the sustainability is the thing that makes me laugh. And, you know, these buildings that were seen built around town are not the limestone and brick and quality construction and the buildings that we're going to be able to look at in 40, 50 years and say, hey, you know, that's a good-looking structure.
Right.
Stuff that they put up, what I call the canyon, going down north and south on Walnut and College now, those buildings, I'll just leave it at this again. I won't bore you with it anymore, but let's see what they look like in 20 years.
Yeah, they're spectacularly ugly. And
thank you.
they're called 5 stories on a podium. You know, that the podium is that downstairs part that's supposed to be retail space that aren't used by very many of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're supposed to be there for retail space and then living space on top of them, except that the retail space on the bottom isn't going anywhere. Nothing's happening. So,
and you're right. They dedicate this stuff. You know, let's put it this way. 25 years ago, you couldn't build around a sinkhole. Now, those things have changed to where they just keep allowing and running it through the plan commission until they tweak it, or where the system down to where they say yes. And, you know, I guess I probably don't have to say that there's only one thing that drives that, and that's the almighty dollar.
Well, of course, yes. And that's what drives the people who are on the plan commission, you know.
Well, I agree with that, and I and that's just the sad state of affairs, and I'll leave it alone after this. People are doing this building. They're not Bloomington people.
No, they're not.
Anybody building around Bloomington, any of these big jobs on a very small scale, is there anybody from Bloomington doing any of this stuff?
No, there's not. And I have a lot of friends in the local construction business, and they never get any of those jobs. Because you got to have all kinds of federal know-how and permitting skills, and you have to know how to play the system. And these guys all have big lawyers and big firms behind them to play that system.
Well, that's exactly what's going on across the street here. I couldn't say it. I'm always going to be the grumpy old guy that lives across the street from the woods that got bulldozed, but they have milked every dime out of this property. If you remember when I called them, they took the biggest walnut tree out of the bottom of the sink. They went down in sinkhole and cut a walnut tree that was so big that I'm 6 foot, whatever. My fingers would not start to wrap around this tree when I stood against it.
Uh-huh.
It was my personal measurement. And they took significant loads of trees out here. I'd say somewhere in the neighborhood of 30, 40, and not many, you know, veneer quality logs, but there were several that were very nice. Yeah. And we have now the dirt on this ground was, you know, so unlike the rest of what we got around here. And they pushed all that dirt from back off of Lydic Drive all the way up here to 17th Street and into a huge pile. And they've hauled all that dirt off somewhere now.
Oh, that got sold or used for fill for another apartment building.
Yeah. I mean, you don't find dirt like this around here. I mean, when you call some, you know, whoever you want to call, won't mention names to get a load of topsoil.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's ground up or something.
Hey, I've got to cut you off here. We're just about to take a quick break.
That's fine.
Thanks for calling in, and we'll...
Call back anytime.
Please do.
So let's just be aware of our neighborhood. It's so hard. We've let some in the county. They're going to log out there in the watershed.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
You're listening to WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, and 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And our forecast today, right now we're at 37 degrees in downtown Bloomington, and slight chance of rain and snow today. Chance of snow shower is going to start developing in the evening, and then we got snow tomorrow. And I guess all night long, because it just says snow. So might be 2 to 4 inches, I'm not sure. We're never sure around here. It's going to clear up and be mostly sunny the rest of the week, although it's going to be in the 20s. So watch out for that. And we're Inside Outdoors. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
It ain't a bunch of beans they serve in the Navy.
Uh-uh.
It's bacon and eggs,
biscuits and gravy.
Biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs, whole pot of coffee down to the dregs. When I get out of bed, my belly big. More biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. That's biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs.
Woohoo! Hey. It always makes me hungry when I hear that song.
Well, you gotta have biscuits and gravy.
Yeah. Hey, we got another caller, so let me put him right on the air here. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. How you doing?
Hey, this is John over in Owen County.
Hi, John.
Hey, I don't have as well-documented a report as your previous caller, but I see that kind of activity all the time. Now, I'm lucky I live in my own little woods right next to the county woods, which they haven't bothered too much. They've timbered a few times, but they haven't tore it up yet. It always comes back. And actually, timbering it, if they careful, they bring more animals in rather than run them off. So I'm not too much against that kind of work, as long as it's done well. But I think there's just one main problem with our society today.
What's that, John?
We've got all these government agencies talking about being worried as heck about global warming and what we have to do as individuals to stop it, which is ridiculous. But we're not talking conservation much anymore, unless it's a show like yours that's not going to get national attention. But you've talked about conservation. You've talked about ruining lakes, ruining creeks. That's the kind of conversations government needs to be involved in, instead of telling us we can't do this or that with our own water hole. They need to be thinking about, I think what the gentleman ahead of me said, you know, sustainability is a joke anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're not trying to sustain what we really should appreciate.
No, they're not. In fact, they're accelerating the pace of destruction, and it's all money. It's money, 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 money. That's what makes the world go around, and it's the only thing that makes the world go around nowadays.
That's the only thing that makes government go around anymore.
Well, it's
just ridiculous.
It's the root of most evil.
Yeah. I really worry about what's going to be left for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I just don't know what they're going to have. And unfortunately, they're going to grow up not knowing they had it.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, I'm talking about this with some buddies yesterday. I used to be a quail hunter. You know, I would go every day in the season. And there are no quail hunters now because all of the habitat has been destroyed and there are no birds left.
No, unless you go to one of those farms.
Right.
More or less canned hunting, you'd call it.
That's what it is.
Yeah, and that's going to be the end of hunting for all of us. I still got deer walking right by my porch right now, but I don't know what they'll be walking by in 10 or 15 years or not. The deer have remarkably survived like the coyotes, and they seem to adapt to whatever we do to their habitat, but that's what causes problems in Bloomington, and then they pull their hair out. What are we going to do about the deer? Well, we can't do anything about the deer. They're God's creatures.
Chronic wasting disease is going to take care of the deer.
Well, I'm a little worried about that, too, and I'm not too sure that didn't start with the game farms.
Well, it did. It absolutely did. It's documented. It started at a game farm in Colorado, and it didn't take it long to get here.
No, because they trade and pass those animals around for breeding and whatever.
They do.
So anything you get to... You can't just say, well, it's out in Wyoming now. Well, it is now, but who knows when it's going to be in Illinois and who knows when it's going to be in Indiana.
It's in Illinois. It's three miles from the Indiana border.
It's in Michigan, and it's in Wisconsin and Minnesota. And yeah, it's all over. It's coming. It's here. They just haven't documented it.
And see, nobody except a few hunters and conservationists are standing up and getting any hearing about that, because nobody wants to listen to that problem, because that doesn't bother the guy building the condominiums next to the woods. You know, it is frustrating. I understand your caller being so frustrated. I'm tickled to death. I live out in a rural area, and
right.
I just think I'm protected maybe as long as I'm going to live, but I just don't know what's coming.
Well, I guess none of us really do, except we can suspect what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, if they're going to predict global warming 40 years out, I think we ought to be able to predict what's happening to the ecology 10 years out.
Well, that's, you know, nobody mentions that anymore. It's not even a campaign topic that you hear very. There's a few people that bring it up, most of whom get made fun of by the ruling class.
Right.
And it's just not like it was in 1972 anymore.
No, and I'm not against true progress, but I'm certainly against destruction, what you called it, organized destruction.
It is organized destruction, and this apartment thing is one of the most alarming things that I've seen in Bloomington since I've been around here, which was 62 is when I came here the first time. And Bloomington was such a beautiful little town with great big trees, like you said. And boy, they're whacking those trees down as fast as they can. They want to get them off of 3rd Street. They want to get them off of 10th Street. They want to get them off of the campus.
Right.
They just want to get it rid of them.
And then they plant those little bitty decorative trees that live about 10 years if they're lucky.
Well, that's what they want. They want a little bitty decorative tree that has a short life, and nobody will miss it when they cut it down for the next apartment building.
Yeah, you got a point there. Well, thanks for listening, guys. I really enjoy your show. I try to listen every week.
Thanks, John. We know you do.
Thanks so much. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. So, I have to agree with I used to talk about the median that goes all the way out 3rd Street now.
Yes.
They like to plant these little trees on right in the middle of the median where you come and you can't see the traffic coming and that sort of thing. And there is not a lot of thought put into, the flow of traffic or other things, as well as getting rid of some of these big trees that he's talking about and everything. I mean, it's just, it doesn't seem to be planned very well anywhere.
Well, we've got so many mayors now. We got mayors here and mayors there, but not a single mayor in charge of the environment. And we got mayors in charge of night hospitality. Now, I wonder what those people, what does the night hospitality mayor do?
I don't know.
Huh? What do you think he does? Or she? Whoever it is, the money is, you remember that there's a line from Little Big Man where Chief Dan George says, the white man does not know where the center of the earth is.
Mm-hmm.
The white man still doesn't know where the center of the earth is.
No,
it's not the greenback dollar.
No.
But that's where it's been played, right there.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's a shame, and he's right. It used to be Tree City. I mean, everywhere you went, there were big giant trees, and fortunately, they haven't ripped them all down around the campus. But close, there's a few encroaching places. Like we were talking about. It looks like I got another caller, so let's put him on the air.
Oh yeah, let's have another talker.
Hey, you're on the air. This is Inside Outdoors.
Looks like I got another caller.
Hey.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Okay. You might want to turn your radio down a little bit.
I'll turn it off.
Okay, sounds good. But yeah, you are on the air. We're talking about Bloomington right now and the loss of some trees and some other things. Is that what you were calling to talk about?
Yeah, this is Dave over in Brown County and talking about loss of trees. I don't know if either one of you guys or some of your listeners have driven past the Bean Blossom Overlook, which is about 4 miles.
Oh, yes.
North of Nashville, they have clear cut, I don't know how many acres, but it was evidently done through a lack of communication. The Brown County Parks and Rec Department owned that piece of land. It was given to them by the state of Indiana. I guess the state didn't want it or something. It had an old overlook on the right-hand side of the road, and they were there to clear 100 square, I think it was 100 square foot area, maybe it was 100 by 100, for a tower, and they got a little bit overzealous and just cut everything right down to the bone. It is absolutely shocking. It's sickening. It's creating an incredible amount of mud and runoff. You know, we had that big rain a couple of weeks ago, and they had done most of the damage by then, and it's just a mess. If any of your listeners have not seen it, they need to drive up there, past there. Just drive up to the Bean Blossom Overlook on North 135, and you will be shocked beyond belief. I mean, it is just total devastation.
Well, I certainly am not surprised to hear that, because there's total devastation in the woods all around in Brown County.
You are correct, sir.
They're just cutting faster than they can grow, that's for sure.
And they like to go into Yellowwood and clean out a spot, and they've done it twice adjacent to my land. We're surrounded by Yellowwood State Forest on the back part of our property, and within the last probably 25 or 30 years, they've gone up there and cut and cut and cut, and they put these little token water bars in. Oh, we're going to fix that. Don't you worry. And these things are doing nothing. You know, we get a rain like we had a couple of weeks ago, and it's a mess.
Yes?
It's a mess. So I don't want to take up a bunch of your time, but I urge anyone that likes a scenic view, take a drive up on the North 135 north of Nashville.
Well,
and you will be shocked beyond belief. I mean, it looks like... looks like they're getting ready for mountaintop removal.
Well, since Governor Pence came in, there's been this accelerated desire to cut down every possible tree that can be cut. And Morgan Monroe State Forest, Yellowwood State Forest, all of them are under attack. And the only way you can ever get anything done is to change the politicians who are making all these calls.
We are working on that.
Well, I don't know if we can. It's not too late to save it, but boy, if it keeps going, it's just going to be stripped bare.
Right, and you know, Brown County is known for scenic views. People come here
right.
Look at trees in the fall. I tell you, the people that are going to come here next fall, they're going to be shocked beyond belief when they drive past Bean Blossom Overlook. And it's just sad. It's really sad. And, you know, I don't know what you can do about it. It was a case of somebody not paying attention to what the loggers were doing. And I don't want to mention names, so I won't.
Well, we all know that Brown County government isn't always the best government.
That's correct.
And they have screwed up many times over there, and this may be just another example of that. Probably is.
Yeah, it's a heartbreaker. Hey, I won't keep you guys, but I got one more question for you.
Yeah. Sure.
Is that Buddy Bill singing lead on the biscuits and gravy?
No, no, it's not, but it kind of sounds like him, doesn't it?
Listen, send him my best. You know, I miss his voice. I know he's been sick here the last couple of weeks, and I get up every Saturday to listen to you guys. So,
well, we miss him too, so I think he might be back next week.
You get him back in there.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks, you guys.
Good talking to you.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's too bad that, boy, that happened. I know where he's talking about, and I'm afraid to drive up there because it's such a beautiful area.
Oh, well, there's beautiful areas all over Brown County that have just been decimated. My mushroom hunting places in Yellowwood State Forest have been clear cut. And last year when I went in there, we didn't find a single shroom, not a single shroom. Now, maybe they'll come back. Maybe they won't. We got another call?
No. Oh. Probably not, though. I mean, not in our lifetime, anyway.
Well, I'm going to have to go to Missouri to go mushroom hunting, or Michigan.
Oh, that's terrible. Can't imagine having to do that around here.
Well,
It wasn't too long ago we were talking about ginseng hunting as well. There's like a lot of things that are under attack, you know.
Anything that grows in the forest is under attack.
Looks like we do have a caller. Let's see if we can get him on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Are you there?
Hello. Hey.
Can you hear us?
I guess not.
Well, I guess not. So anyway, but there's ginseng is under attack as well. And so is, mushrooms, again, you can pick them and you're not going to hurt them coming back the next year. But ginseng is another story entirely. If you just take the whole root, it's over. And there's a lot of things that we need all this forest for.
Well, and there's many plants that you wouldn't think of, you don't even know the name of, that are disappearing, just like the insects are disappearing. I mean, all kinds of insects are disappearing, not just bees.
Mm-hmm.
It's half of the insects are going to be dead for too long, too many years.
I've been noticing that too, and people still complain about it, but I don't see as many on my windshield, you know, or anything anymore.
And no bugs, no crops.
Hey, well, listen, we've used up an hour. We hope to see Buddy Bill back next week, and thanks for tuning in. This is Don Jordan and Rich Reardon, so thanks, Don, for coming in. And
you bet.
We'll see you next week.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954. At 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich, and listen online anytime at insideoutdoorsradio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning, and so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.